This week, I am at the Museum of Illusions, which is at the City Foundry with Steve Garman, who is the general manager. Steve, thanks for inviting me over.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This place is pretty new to St. Louis. When did it open? Give us a little history of this place, which is, I believe, is a chain as well, right?
Yeah, we are corporately owned here in St. Louis, but we opened last year, May 24th. We've been open for a little bit over about 17 months right now. We've seen over about 50,000 people in here throughout. This is a Croatian-based company. So it started in Croatia in 2015. We were the 49th museum open. We have 61 museums completely throughout the whole world. We're opening them as we speak all the time. So we got a couple more to open in the United States that's going to be corporately owned. We have Detroit that's going to open up. We have New Orleans that's going to open up. So those two are still coming. And then we're going to open one in Santa Monica also this year. So we're opening them as fast as we can get them up in the United States, and we're just trying to keep this brand growing around the world.
And around the world, do you know any of the other ones that are in different countries?
Yes, I do. We opened Copenhagen right after I opened mine last year, and we opened one in Manchester right after I opened this one in St. Louis, and we actually opening one, I think, in November in Sydney, Australia. Wow. So they're all over the world, and they keep popping up everywhere. We have some of them, the company started as a franchise, so most of them are franchises, and we just literally start opening up corporate museums within the last 2-3 years, and the one that opened, the first one in the United States that opened was in Charlotte, North Carolina, a little bit over 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
So since then, we got 11, and probably about 15 is going to be open before the end of the year. So we're growing.
Well, the title of the museum, Illusions, is pretty self-explanatory, but explain the concept, though.
We have here in St. Louis, we have 50 plus different exhibits. They're all mind-bending. They all kind of play with your mind. They brain tease you. They challenge your perception and a lot of stuff. And it just keeps you excited about keep coming back. We change up different things every now and then here in the museum. It's just something to come here to keep you educated also and keep you fun. So we coined the term edutainment. So we're going to educate you and entertain you at the same time.
Why is it called a museum?
Because you can come here and actually look around. It's kind of just like a museum, but with the twist is training your mind and educating your mind on how your brain works or it don't work. So it's one of those things that we do here. But it is a museum. You can come in and look around, and you can be entertained for hours at a time. We have our brain gym over. Yeah, it's a brain gym. And it does nothing but challenge your mind with all these wooden games that we have in there, and you can move them around and try to figure them out. We've had people that stay in the brain gym for like 5 hours just trying to figure out all the puzzles and stuff in there. And it's a lot to do in just that one little small room if you're going to sit in there and try to figure out every game that we have.
Interesting. Now, as a kid, I remember being fascinated by those kinds of things, like puzzles of all kinds and word games and anagrams and stuff like that. Yeah. So I assume that there's a big element here that caters toward kids.
Yes, we do have an element of the museum that caters towards kids, but we invite all ages, because as you come as an adult, you turn back into a kid. And that's one of the biggest things that we love. Here you come in, and if you come in without a smile on your face, you're leaving with a smile on your face. But yeah, we've had people come in and they don't look like they're going to have fun. Before they get through the first or second exhibit, they're already having fun. Before they get to the end of it, they can't wait to come back again the next time. So yeah, it's catered to kids, a lot of it, but we do a lot with adults, and we have parties and corporate events and everything here also.
Well, back to the children, there is an educational component to this place.
Yes, we're affiliated with STEM.org, and we actually have field trips, groups, teachers come in all the time here to see what we have to offer, and we have pamphlets for all ages, K-12, and we can teach you, we can entertain you while you're learning. So that's one of the big things here. And another thing too that goes in the benefit of teaching and learning, all our teachers get in free here. Every teacher that walk in, it's free of charge, and we just want to make sure that you get something educational out of it, and you can take that back to the school and bring field trips and groups out here to have a lot of fun and get educated.
Well, what are the subjects that kids learn here?
Most of it is science. So we have a lot of science that's going on here. You can imagine with the brain teasing and stuff like that. And it's telling you how your brain works. And people want to get to the science behind how does that illusion work? Why is my brain acting like that? Why am I not seeing what I'm supposed to see? And I'm seeing something completely different. And then I always tell people that we only use 10% of our brain. And the rest of the 90% is just up out there in space. And we never turn it on and use it. But when you come here, we try to open up those things and tell you what you're seeing, why you're seeing it, and how we can educate you on going forward. So if you bring somebody else back here, you're the expert and you can teach them and tell them why they're seeing what they're seeing. And you know, we have one exhibit as soon as you walk in called The Following Eyes, and it's got so much educational on that description to tell you how our eyes are convex, and then we have concave. And once you put those two together and you dig into the science behind that, and you walk across and that picture start moving on you, is because of the way our eyes are set up and focusing our brain, and how we got the opposite going on with the picture out front. And it looks like, you know, one of the old Scooby-Doo cartoons where the eyes are following you in the paint.
Yeah.
We have that up front as soon as you walk in. So that's the start of our illusions at the, you know, as soon as you walk into the museum.
Isn't that a baseball player? Did I read that?
Yes, that you read that right. It's a baseball player. We can't give any names of who it is, but it's definitely a baseball player. When the Croatians were actually looking up to see, they Googled St. Louis, and one of the first things that came up was the St. Louis Cardinals. So we didn't have rights, and we don't have rights to that picture out there, so we can't say who it is. But, yeah, you can come there, and we leave that up to your illusion also to figure out who that is up front.
That's funny. Well, tell me about some of the more popular other exhibits.
Well, when you first walk in, after you go through the Following Eyes and you go through the pen art, we have this Ames room. The Ames room is where you can grow and shrink right in front of someone. You walk, you can stand in one corner and you can be tall, and you're in the other corner and you're very, very small. That is one of my favorite exhibits that starts you off the illusions right there. And the first big illusion that we have is the Ames room. But the one that always get everybody going is when you get to the dark room, we have that vortex tunnel. Our vortex tunnel is our number one exhibit. That's the one with the curtain in it, and you walk across about 20 feet, and it seems like the whole room is spinning around, but in all actuality, the curtain is the only one that's spinning, and everything else is all up in your brain, and it's making you feel like the whole thing is spinning around in one big circle.
That's the most popular one?
Yeah, that is the most popular one. But I always warn people, when you get to a certain age where you can go to Six Flags and you can't ride those rides anymore, that's the same type of thing.
So. Oh, I know. I did it.
Yeah,
you know. I tried it. I was like, oh, I love roller coasters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that thing, I just couldn't get my brain around the idea that it wasn't swinging.
Right.
You know? And so I had a real hard time.
I'm the same way with that one. I can take a couple steps in there, and then I'll have to fall to the ground. But if you ever go in there with kids, they will run through that thing back and forth 15 to 20 times, and it doesn't affect them one bit. They love it. But as you get to a certain age, you try to walk across there, and I always tell people to hold on to the rails. It don't matter. The rails seem like you're flipping upside down. Even me being here over a year and a half, I still can't train my brain to make it seem like I'm not spinning upside down. And I can pretty much break every illusion in here, and that one I can't conquer.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite one is probably the building illusion. That's the one you can lay on the ground and you look like you're hanging off the side of the building. Seem like you're in a movie, and you know, you can do all kinds of stuff with that. You can get up and get down and look like you're a Spider-Man. You can lay down and somebody else can be holding your hand and it looks like they're hanging from the side of the building. That's a really, really cool one. That's probably my favorite one here.
The other one that I have a picture of, actually, is the chair.
Yes.
Where you sit in the chair, and it's a big chair, but then when you take a photo of it, it looks like you're tiny on a big chair. I mean, can you explain that one?
Yeah, that one's called the Boucher chair. So with the Boucher chair, it gives you the same kind of thing as like when I talked about the Ames room, one looks tall and one looks small. So it's an illusion, and it looks like it's just three different sticks up there, and then we have a platform kind of in the back. So once you sit on that platform or stand on that platform, the person that's standing on the outside of the illusion looks like they're super tall, and the person that's actually standing on the platform or the chair, it seems like they're very, very small.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all in the angles and how you perceive stuff. And that's one of the ones that I always tell people a couple things. if your mind can't, your brain can't perceive something, take your phone out, hold it up, and it would all come together, because you can't fool your phone because your phone don't have a brain.
Interesting.
So it works like that with the kaleidoscope too, the standing kaleidoscope. If you go on one side and the other one, you can actually see, look through there, and you can see fragments of people. But as soon as you hold your phone up there, it turns into a big number of fragmented pieces, but you're all in every little frame. The same with the Boucher chair. You hold your phone up there and then it looks like a chair, but with your naked eye, it doesn't look like a chair.
Yes, so, that's right.
That's how that was working. It's really cool. I love putting people that's really tall on the outside and then put somebody else that's shorter on the inside, and then they look like a giant. And then when you switch them around, the giant becomes a very, very tiny person.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, you mentioned the building one, yeah. And it made me think of the fact that, you know, my girlfriend is sensitive to the, you know, dizziness and things like that. That was an example where she enjoyed it and she didn't feel any sense of that.
Right.
So there are quite a few exhibits here for people who might be a little susceptible to the dizzy spells.
Yes, we do. We have, first of all of our exhibits that has any kind of warning label for epilepsy, dizziness and stuff, we have warnings on those. So we try to tell people to shy away from those. We have this one right outside the office here called the Tilt Room, and it slants up almost 90 degrees. But once you walk into there, you can see yourself infinity in both of the mirrors there, and you can lean and do whatever you need to do in that one. But it's a warning label on that one that's saying if you get dizzy and stuff like that, stay away from it. We have the same warning label over here on the Vortex Tunnel. But those things are there. If you're sensitive to light, all those warnings are out there also. But we only have one of those exhibits, and they usually don't flash that much. And usually people that's very sensitive to light can walk right into that exhibit and not have any problems. So we do have warning labels up with some of that.
Give me some of the logistics, like how much it costs to come in, how long you think it would take to go through it.
All right, so all of our prices are online. You can find those at www.museumofillusions.com. So you can go there and find all of our prices. But they start at $25 for the child, and they work a couple dollars all the way up to the adult. We do have military discounts. We have senior citizen discounts. And we do have a discount, like I said, for the teachers earlier. They all are free. So as long as you come with a valid ID, you definitely can get in here. It takes about 45 minutes to walk through the museum and just look at every exhibit. Like I said earlier, we got 50 to 60 exhibits in here. And that's if you go through and read every description, you'll get out of here within 45 minutes to an hour. And now, if you come in and you want to have some fun and you want to hang out in the brain gym, time is unlimited. We don't push anybody out of this place. I've seen people stay here from 3 to 5 hours trying to figure all those games out in the brain gym. But if you're coming in casually, walking through, and say if you're on a date night or something, it'll take you 45 minutes to an hour to go through here. But if you're a little more adventurous and you want to really test your brain and your knowledge, you go in that brain gyms and you can stay in there for a long, long time.
What are the hours?
We're open every Sunday through Friday. We're open from 10 a.m. to 9, and then on Friday and Saturday, we're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And this month, I thought I saw that there was a special for families.
Yes, we do. We have a 2+2. We got two adults, two kids. Come in, and you get 20% off your ticket. So it comes out to about $105. You're saving about $15, $20 if you got, you know, two adults and two kids. We do that for the family. And also with Sunday through Thursday, you come in and you can get you a $20 off coupon on our summer package deals. So it's something for the family and the kids to come through after they get finished seeing the museum. They can go to the gift shop and pick out a couple items that's adding up to $20.
So what's in the gift shop?
We have a lot of stuff in the gift shop. We got STEM-related toys in the gift shop. We have all kinds of some of the best toys on the market. We have what we call the Zip Strings. We have Wandinis. We have brain teasers.
Wandinis?
Wandinis. It's like it's a wand that you spin around and change colors.
Okay.
And the Zip String is one of the ones, probably the number one toy in America last year during Christmas. You put it out there and you put a string in there and it just starts spinning around and around and around. So we have that. We have all kinds of STEM-related stuff here. A lot of teachers come in and buy stuff for their classroom to keep their kids and their students busy. We have all the games that you see in the Brain Gym that you're in there trying to solve. We actually sell those in the gift shop also. So it comes with a lot of stuff. It's just so fun just to come here every day. I've worked in all kinds of industries before, and this by far has been the funnest one that you don't mind coming in, because you're going to leave with a smile, and you're going to help people out, and you're going to see people smiling all day. So you can't help but to come here and to have a good time.
And I had a question. I forgot what it is now. Oh, I know what it was. Events. Mm-hmm. You mentioned events. What kind of events do you do? Do you rent the place out? Things like that?
Yes, we have a sales department, actually. We got sales managers that's assigned to St. Louis. And what will happen is, if you have any groups, any kind of corporate events, birthday parties, anything like that, we will hook you up with our salesperson, and then our salesperson will definitely get you coordinated. But we do buyouts for the whole museum. We do corporate events. We do birthday parties. We do field trips. We do so much other things here that you would not imagine. We have the Brain Gym that I was just talking about. We clear out that space in there. We put up tables and stuff like that and have DJs in. We've had all kinds of people come in. We can hold up to 281 people in the museum. So it's a good time for all.
I was going to say, this would be a cool party to have your friends over, or a corporate event, you know.
Yeah, we've already started with a Christmas booking already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so people are coming out getting site tours, see if they're going to have their Christmas party here. We can do a lot of different stuff in the space. And that's without destroying any fabric of the museum. You can come here and have drinks and food and stuff like that and still enjoy all the exhibits that we have to offer here.
You might want to limit the drinks when you go on that vortex thing or whatever. That'll be a bad idea.
Well, it depends on your party, because a lot of people come in and like, I want to be a little tipsy when they walk in here to do this, because their brain is kind of scrambled already, and they're like, let's keep scrambling it. But yeah, we had all kinds of different types of people come through, you know, and partake in different type of stuff and walk in, and like, we had a blast. I was like, okay, it's good for everyone.
Steve, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get involved in this?
My background actually started when I got out of school in retail. I started with Foot Locker. I worked my way up from a full-time associate in Foot Locker to the district manager in Foot Locker. And then I went on, actually got out of that business after 23 years, and I went into the insurance business for a couple years, and then after that I got into the cannabis business.
Oh, okay.
And I ran one of the biggest cannabis dispensaries in Illinois. And then I was just sitting at home one day, and I got a LinkedIn message from some guy that's recruiting for Museum of Illusions.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was a hoax. Never heard of the place.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I never heard of the place before. After a couple of interviews with a couple people higher ups in Croatia, actually the CEO, the vice president at the time, gave me an interview, and I sat down and talked to him, and a couple weeks later, I'm here at the Museum of Illusions, and I've been here ever since, and it's been a joy.
Steve Garman, the general manager of the Museum of Illusions at the City Foundry. It's really a cool place. You got to come check it out. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for having me over.